everyone. This shiur should be for the refuah shlema of Oz ben Michal, Rose bat Sudika, Ronan ben Rachel. Bezrat Hashem, they should have a speedy refuah shlema.
Amen.
Okay, so before we get into Shaar Bitachon, I'd like to do a fun little introduction. There's a book called Mesat Yesharim, and it was written by the Ramchal. Mesat Yesharim is the path of the just. And this is probably the most important foundational Musar book of all time. And before we get into learning the Shaar Bitachon, which is the Gate of Trust, I wanna give you guys a quick background of why it's so important that you all came here tonight, why it's so important to learn Torah in general, and why it's our ultimate purpose in this world. So, and by the way, at any point in time, if you guys have a question and you want to stop the class and just raise your hand or say something, I'm more than encouraging that. The idea of this shiur, obviously, if you look around, we're in my studio. That's why it's not finished with the construction yet, and that's why we're starting a little bit late. But when I moved to Miami a few months ago, the idea was to really do this kiruv, which is to bring Jews closer to Hashem full time. And God set it up that He put us in a whole 50,000 square foot of space to, God willing, not only do classes and to bring Jewish people together, but to also do events, and there's many exciting things coming. And I thought, what better way, you know, to open up a studio than to bring Tusha to it? I also, if you guys are wondering why there's flags behind me, like the embassy, it's because we might run for presidency in 16 years. No, I'm kidding. we support Israel, we love America, and Baruch Hashem. So, a very important introduction, I think, to any class is to talk about the first page of the Mesilat Yesharim, which again is the path of the just. And again, if any questions, stop me in the middle. I'm encouraging questions, difficult ones. We're here to grow, and we're here to come closer to Hashem. Is that clear? Clear? Awesome. Beautiful. So, it says, Ma tachbulotav shel adam? It's asking, what is the purpose of a person in this world? Why did Hashem create this world? Why are we here? Why were we born into our specific families? Why did God give us our specific skill sets and talents and etc.? And a couple lines later it answers, the whole purpose of this world is lehenot miziva shechina, is to derive benefit from the divine light, which means that God created this entire creation, sophisticated as it is. If we want to prove the existence of God, we could do that another time or even tonight if anyone wants to know. But the whole purpose of this creation is to basically derive benefit from the divine light, which means to get to Olam Haba. So, and it says a couple lines later that Ha'olam Hazeh Domeh Bifnei Pruz Dor Le'olam Haba. This world is a hallway, can everyone hear me? Is a hallway for the world to come. Meaning, this entire world, this entire test that's in front of us at every single moment of our day, the whole purpose of it is to eventually get to Olam Haba. Now, I know that sounds very mystical, I'm going to explain. Imagine I took all of you to a room in the back of the shul, and I said, you know, Max, what's up, Max? I said, Max, inside of this room is the cryptocurrency. No, we can't actually grab cryptocurrency, but I know that he loves cryptocurrency. In this room is a bunch of diamonds and gold and silver, and I'm giving you 60 seconds in this room by yourself. What would you do? You would create holes in your pockets and your pants that don't even exist because you understand the value of the diamonds inside the room. You know that you can take the diamonds and you can go to a jewelry store, convert it to cash, because you understand the value of a diamond and how much it can change your life. And that's exactly the world that we live in. Hashem is putting us in this world, and He gives us 70, 80, 90, B'zat Hashem, 120 years, amen, of time to grab as many diamonds as we can. What does that mean? It means that as the Vilna Gaon writes, Tikun midot zekola adam, to rectify your character traits. That's the whole purpose as to why Hashem created you. In short, the whole purpose of this entire creation, of this entire world, is to get closer to Hashem. David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, Kirvat Elohim Li Tov. For me to get close to Hashem is good for my soul. So any struggle a person is facing in their life, in the business world, in dating, in marriage, in their relationships with people, with their parents, etc. By the way, the Rambam writes that, how do you measure chesed? By how you treat your family members and by how you are with them, your brothers, your sisters, etc. Because your family members, the family that Hashem gave you, the family that you were given, that's exactly your purpose to fulfill. That's why everyone always has the annoying mother-in-law, the difficult siblings, the arguments with them, etc. It's easy to do chesed for strangers, but to do chesed for the people in your family, for the people closest to you, that's the whole purpose of why Hashem created you to do that. And like we said about midot, to work on our character traits, not to be stingy, not to work on our anger, to work on our giving.
Yeah.
You have five girls in the bathroom.
Yeah.
There's not going to be a room. You want to just move everything 2-3 minutes quickly into this big room?
They can't squeeze in.
It's going to be very tough. You might have more people coming besides them.
Could you fit another row up front or no?
Yeah, you could come.
Okay.
Okay, musical chairs, guys.
So good.
Okay, should we continue or should we leave it? Is everything... Wait, can we start or are they coming?
If you're going, sure.
Okay.
So press the button on top.
This one?
Is it red?
Yep. Awesome. So the whole entire purpose of this world, of this creation, of whatever we see in front of us every single day, at every single point in time, is to trust Hashem. And you might be thinking to yourselves practically, well, I'm not learning in Kollel all day. I'm not sitting in the yeshiva all day. How do I get close to Hashem if I'm working? You should know that if a person has an intention in their mind before they go to work every single day that I'm going to work now to do my ishtadlut, to do my effort, to make a living, and you can go to work and not make a dollar, you are fulfilling a mitzvah d'oraita from the Torah, which means your entire day didn't go to waste. It's so important to learn Torah and to learn how to connect to Hashem because there are opportunities in front of us and gems in front of us at every single point in our lives and in our day. When we have difficult people in front of us, it's merely an opportunity to give them love and compassion because one of the main divine rules as to how God works is midah keneged midah, measure for measure. So when we give love and compassion to difficult people in our lives, when it's hardest to do that, we're giving an opportunity for God to give us love and compassion in Shamayim. Because so whatever happens down here is a reflection to what's happening in Shamayim. And everything in our life is divine intervention. God is speaking to us at every moment, and it's our responsibility to listen to Him and to open up our ears. Why is it so important to fulfill Torah and Mitzvot? A, as we just explained, because we have our entire lives of gems and opportunities to get closer to Hashem. But the word Torah, which is the book of instructions, stems from the word Hora'ah. Hora'ah means instructions. It's an instruction manual that God is giving us. Hey, you want to live the best possible life. You want to make money with ease, without stress. You want to have an amazing marriage where you truly feel close to your spouse, where you know how to treat your spouse, where you understand that at every single point of the day, there isn't enough times you can tell your husband or wife, I love you. You know, words are free, compliments are free, and there isn't a limit as to how much you can say that. There isn't a limit of how nice you can be to a person. There isn't a limit of how much chesed you can do. And we have to truly believe in ourselves that we have so much potential, and the only thing that's holding us back from becoming the greatest version of us is us. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was the Chafetz Chaim who wanted to set out and to change the world. He tried that and he failed. He tried to change his city, his town, his village, his neighbor. And every single person that the Chafetz Chaim tried to inspire and to change, it didn't work out. When he decided to look into himself and to change himself, that's when it leaked out and changed the entire world. So that's a little bit of an introduction as to why it's so important to learn Torah and to fulfill mitzvah. And also, it's also very important that we shouldn't be so hard on ourselves. If you miss a minyan, if you're trying to grow and come closer to Hashem or trying to keep Shabbat, don't take your efforts for granted. Don't think that just because, you know, I'm not keeping anything and I'm far from Hashem, it doesn't mean anything. It's not true. Hashem wants you to come closer to Him from exactly where you're at. And if that means for you on your level to keep Shabbat for just Friday night and the next day to do what you need to do, that's okay. If that means to start putting only tefillin and not going to minyan yet, it's okay. And if you need a pair of tefillin, we'll sponsor you a pair of tefillin. If that means to just wear tzitzit on Shabbat, it's okay. If it means to just start praying in minyan, mincha arvit, and shachrit to do at home, come closer to Hashem from where you're at. Because it's much better to come closer to Hashem in small increments and to eventually in 6 months to a year and 5 years to be close to Hashem and fulfilling the Torah and fulfilling the religion out of love, as opposed to doing everything in one shot because you heard a very fiery speech and a scary speaker and then to crash in a couple months. It's very important to fulfill mitzvah with love and to know and to understand what we're doing. One of the commandments in the Torah, it says, Vida'atem ayom. Hashem is saying, you should know the Torah today. Hashem doesn't want us to be like sheep and to follow the herd, or to follow whatever community we're a part of, and to just go with the flow. Hashem wants us to know exactly what we're doing. Hashem wants a nation of smart people, of independent thinkers, people that understand why they're fulfilling Torah and mitzvot, people that know for themselves and that they'll be able to teach. How can you teach something that you don't know? It's very common nowadays to fulfill religion out of habit and out of routine, and then we find ourselves burning out because we don't really understand what we're doing and why we're doing it. And that's why I'm telling you now here today that come closer to Hashem from where you're at and have a relationship with Hashem and talk to Hashem. And Bezrat Hashem, through learning the Shaar HaBitachon, we're going to really learn for myself too, it's for me as well, how to really bring Hashem with us in our daily lives, how to speak to Him the entire day and how to feel Him. And most importantly, besides feeling God in your life, to know that when you don't feel God in your life, when you feel that darkness, when life is hard and when bills are not being paid and when everything is collapsing, to understand that just because I don't feel God right now, I know that He's with me and the inspiration will come later. So now we're going to get... Any questions so far?
No.
Okay, awesome. So we're going to get into the Shaar HaBitachon and... And to anyone who just walked in, why I chose this book specifically, for those of you who have seen my videos online, thank God Hashem really blessed me and used me a channel to do a lot of good things. And I've met many, many big rabbis, from Gadol Ador to your local community rabbi and everything in between. And every rabbi that I asked, what's a very important sefer to glue yourself to if I only have 10 minutes a day? And they all said Shaar HaBitachon, the gate of trust. Because there's nothing more important than reminding ourselves and putting a taste to our life and a sweetness and like a metikut as to why we're fulfilling the mitzvah. And to really understand that there's nothing more important to really feel Hashem with you, as opposed to just learning Gemara, you know, going to Minyan, doing things like a robot and having people put you down and just going through life as a complete disaster. Having emunah and bitachon is having almost like a mystical weapon to fight your entire life with. It's a very important tool, and without it we can get lost. Yeah.
Why would you say it's only become like more the thing now? Like growing up in the school system, yeshiva, they didn't really teach it. Like if it's such a vital thing, why were we missing it? Like why wasn't it, you know, taught? You know, I went to many schools and I didn't know about it till maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah, so I'm on the complete same boat as you. When I went to school, they taught us religion out of fear. If I was late 5 minutes to school, I would have to stay an hour after. Everything was about being there on time, you know, fulfilling it. And there were even horrible things that I had rabbis tell me throughout the high school experience. So I'm not going to say what high school I went to, of course, because it's like Lashon Hara. But just very simply, to answer your question, I don't know why the school system is the way it is. But Bezrat Hashem, there are many good yeshivot that we're going to put our kids in. And that's really the reason why I do what I do. You know, I grew up feeling the same way, that there wasn't enough explanations being taught as to why we should learn the mitzvot coming from a place of love. There's many deep, intricate reasons as to why the system is the way it is. And, you know, Baruch Hashem, instead of, you know, fighting the system, we can bring that happiness and sweetness into our own life and to come closer to Hashem from where we're at and to come closer to Hashem from a place of love. And to say, Hashem, you know, this rabbi or this person, this mentor that I had in my life that taught me or turned me off, or in some cases even traumatized me with something mean that they told me, is not God. It's merely a representative that did a bad job. And it's my responsibility to not be a victim and to not let this affect the rest of my life. And I want to come closer to you because I want to be close to you, Hashem. I don't need a messenger. I want to come straight to the source, which is you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, Abore Baruch Hu, my creator, my maker, the creator that gives me, you know, my lungs to breathe, and all the cells in my body are working perfectly, and I'm not paralyzed, and I'm able to enjoy sweet air and to walk and to run, and there's so many good things in my life, and it's almost a shame to shut that all out just because of someone who represented the religion the wrong way. And I hope that can answer your question. So before we get into the Shaar, I want to give some important notes that I think is very important to understand. And we said this before, it's not me talking. It's not me giving this class. It's Hashem speaking through me. And I tell Hashem before any class that we do is that please put in my mouth the right words for whatever the people in the room need to hear. And I think it's very important to say that because we should really have that mindset throughout our life. If we're going into a business meeting, a person should think, Hashem, the outcome of the meeting is in your hands. I'm just showing up. I'm doing my ishtadlut. I'm showing up. And I'm coming to do my part to hopefully get the sale. If not, it's okay. And that's really the mindset of how we should live our life. That it's not us, it's Hashem. And we're merely a vessel to carry out His will. And like we mentioned before, God willing, next week we're going to give out the books, but it's very important. We're not going to be able to do it today, but God willing, we'll do it next week when I'm going to be able to give out copies, or God willing, I'll have the books. But it's so important that, and just in general, to know that not just in the class now, but when you learn, it's important to say to read what you're saying. Meaning, like, just like how you're reading in the prayer, and when you say the Amidah, you say the word softly, where only you can hear it. It's very important that if you're learning Gemara, Halakha, Midrash, whatever it is, to say the words softly and quietly where you can hear it, because that way when you speak, you create a vessel. Like a person can't think to Hashem. You have to speak to Hashem. When you speak to Hashem and say, Hashem, I want to be married. I want to fix my bad character traits. I want to make money in an easy way. When you speak to God, you create a vessel in order for the vessel to receive what it needs to receive. And besides that, when you say these things and when you read these holy divine words of Torah, you're stitching the words onto your soul and you're making it a part of you. You're making it forever a part of you and changing who you are, which is the purpose as to why we're here, like we said before. It's important to know that as much as we learn and study, we don't know anything and we're merely scratching the surface. As like guys, we can come to this class every week for the next 100 years and finish this book 50 times and we'll never even understand the percent of a percent. Whenever you think you start to know something, remind yourself with humility that we don't know anything. Because the moment that we think we know something, we're not allowing ourselves to learn more. There's so much to learn and there's so much to study and there's so much to grow. And that should really be our mindset in this day and age and in this world. We don't know anything, and our main sole purpose is to get closer to Hashem and to not be hard on ourselves. To love ourselves, to love Hashem, to love the fact that we have the opportunity to grow, to love the blessings He gives us in our life, and to appreciate even the smallest things. To appreciate the fact that we have a bed to go home to sleep on tonight. To appreciate the fact that even though the studio is not done, we're still here. To appreciate the fact that we have a car to drive in. To appreciate the fact that we have amazing food and so many Jewish kosher restaurants and so many good things and so many things up and coming, especially here in South Florida. New communities being built and so much optimism and so much positive energy. And Daniel Ben-Hamu was running the Wednesday night shiur. Round of applause for him. And Baruch Hashem, there's really so much good. And when you think about, when you start to train your mind to only think about the good, there really leaves no more room for negativity. And that's not just external, it's internal too. To look at ourselves in the positive light. To always look at ourselves in the positive light. And if we can't, to practice. To look in the mirror and to say 10 good things about ourselves. Another very important note is that part of living with Emunah and Bitachon is to constantly throughout your day to say please Hashem and to say thank you. Many times we can say, God, please help me have a good day tonight. But after the day goes well, you don't thank Him afterwards. Please Hashem, help the business deal go through. And when it goes through and you make an amazing commission, you forget to thank Him. So it's a very important part of actually having a relationship with Hashem, an actual relationship where you talk to Him and bring Him into your life and speak to Him and express to Him and laugh with Him and cry with Him and everything in between, is to say please and thank you like you would to any other person, to have manners. Please Hashem, help this to happen. And when it happens, thank you. And if it doesn't happen, thank you too. Because I only see life through my own two lens, through my own two eyes, through my lens of seeing things. Hashem, you see the entire picture. And you're divinely orchestrating that everything should work out the way it needs to. And part of having emunah and bitachon is that things don't need to go my way. They have to go your way, God. And thank you for taking care of my life. You know, it's a very interesting point is that it says in Masechet Sotah, Dafei Amud Bet, I'm very into sources. I like evidence. It says in Tractate Sotah on page 5b, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, God is saying, Kol Adam Sheyesh Bo Gasot Ruach, En Ani Ve'u Yechulim Ladur Ba'olam. God is saying something very powerful here, and if you really can chop this, it could change your life. God is saying here, where any person that has ego, easing God out, any person that has the sense of Gava, He's saying there's no space in this world for me and you to realm in together. And what does that mean practically? If a person is constantly fixating and thinking and trying to control everything in their life, how can Hashem do His job? But if you really trust Hashem, like I wrote on the group chat, what's happiness? And I wanted you guys to really think about that. Happiness equals peace of mind. Being able to go through your day and not having to worry about anything. Worry in Hebrew is da'aga. Da'aga means worry, fear, correct? How do you spell it? Dalet, Aleph, Gimel, Hey. Why is there no bet? Because if you bring down the bet is the bitachon and the bracha. So if you have bitachon, it gives you bracha and kills the worry. So it's so important to trust Hashem and to know that He's doing everything for the best. And that is truly how to be happy. happiness is not a destination. Happiness is how you should feel throughout the process. Smiling ear to ear to recognize that your smile is the way it is. And Hashem gave you a beautiful smile, and it's a shame not to wear it. And I don't know why everyone in this room is not smiling right now. Like, it's really a gift that we have our smile that we do, and we have the ability to wear it and to change someone else's day. You don't know, you can go into a cafe, into a restaurant, a date. Of course, you should be smiling, or else you shouldn't be going out on dates. And to greet your wife, even if you're married to her for 20 years, to always be smiling, because you don't know that you really don't know how the other person needs the smile. And yeah, so it's very important to not fixate, not to try to control things, because the more that we try to fixate and to control and to worry about things, we're not allowing God a space to operate and to do His job. If we want Hashem to do His job, then we have to stop trying to do it for Him. It's a relationship and it takes time. Coming close to Hashem is not going to happen overnight. It's going to take a lot of time. Someone I really look up to, Gedalia Fenster, he always says in his classes that it took him 6 months of Hidbodedut until he finally saw an answer. And in many ways, I think we could all relate to that. Sometimes we talk to Hashem, we want things to change, and they don't change. And it's not about giving up. It's about putting in your complete effort every single day and taking it one day at a time. A couple weeks ago in the parasha, it said Avraham Avinu Baba Yamim. It said Avraham, he came to us, he came at the end of his life with full and complete days. Now, let me ask you a question. It doesn't really make any sense that Avraham Avinu didn't waste a second of his entire life. Like, it's a little bit mind-boggling. How did Avraham not waste a second of his life? And the answer is, he ba bayamim. Avraham Avinu took it one day at a time. He didn't overwhelm himself and say, oh, I'm going to be alive for 100 years. I have to fix everything and be rich by 20 and buy a mansion and a yacht and everything and have a jacuzzi in the back. Avraham Avinu understood that it's one day at a time. And the best thing, like we said a couple minutes ago, is to come closer to Hashem from where you're at. Through the power of coming closer to Hashem from where you're at, it allows us to focus on the moment in front of us. And to understand that right now we're sitting in a class, let's enjoy it, let's focus, or let's spaz out. Right now we're sitting on a date, to put your phone away, to focus on the girl or the guy in front of you. Right now you're sitting down with your wife after a long day's work, not to check your phone, to be present with that person, etc. Right now you're in work, be at work, focus on work. Right now you're exercising, be in the gym. Right now you're meditating, so now it's time to give to your mind. Now you're praying, put your phone away. And the list goes on. We have to take things one step at a time, one day at a time, and not to allow the focus to get stolen so much. And like we said before, which is a very important point, to know that when you're feeling feelings of darkness, like I'll tell you something very interesting. I once had the honor to interview Rav Meir Eliyahu. And I'm going to do this throughout the class. When things come up, I'm going to say stories about how some of the interviews came about, because it's very inspiring. Me and my friend were driving to the store. I think it's called Carrot Express. And we were in Miami. I think it's Carrot Express, right? The kosher one. And usually when I use Waze, I never make mistakes. I put in the address. I go straight to the destination. And for some reason, I went to 3 wrong places. And I ended up going to the right Carrot Express. And I happened to find a parking spot like a block away. I think it was in Surfside. I park my car and it's about to be Shkia. I look to my left, I see Sfarim, like Sidurim. And I'm like, wow, it's a shul. Maybe now I could go pray Mincha. So right away we get out of our car, we walk up to the shul door, and who walks out? Rav Meir Eliyahu. And I was like, wow, Shgacha Prati, Hashem wants me to interview him. I come up to him, I said, Rabbi, can we do an interview? Yes, of course, we can do it right now. And you know, so we go to the street corner, we do the interview, and I asked him a question about overcoming depression. And he said an answer that I can't forget. Rav Meir Eliyahu said depression is, it's not what we identify today as depression is feelings of darkness. All the issues that we face with our mind, with our mental health, is really rooted by issues with the soul. And it's not that we're feeling depression and that we have to go and take tons of medication and to escape and etc. And I'm not bashing medication. It is a temporary solution 100%. But the real root cause of the feelings of darkness is Kirvat Elokim Li Tov. For me to be close to Hashem is good for me. So when I'm not close to Hashem, I'm going to feel feelings of darkness. When I interviewed Rabbi Joey Heber, he said the same thing. We give food to our body, but we're not giving food to our soul. The same way your body needs to eat and to drink, so does your neshama too. Besides having a time for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, we have to have a time morning and night to learn Torah and to come closer to Hashem and to speak to Him and to go to Mi'anim and etc. So it's very important to understand that yes, and even when you're trying to grow and to come closer to Hashem, you're still going to feel those feelings of darkness. You're still going to feel feelings of being far from your Creator. But you have to understand that feeling darkness is not permanent, and the inspiration will come soon after. That is the test. It says, "La'agid baboker chazdecha." Right? Everyone comes in the morning when the sun's shining, when there's the wedding day, when there's the engagement day, when things are going good on the bar mitzvah, the bat mitzvah. It's easy to come when there's a celebration to say, "Hashem, you're so real. I believe in you." On Simchat Torah, everyone's together. Sukkot. Very soon we have Chanukah. But ve'emunatcha ba'lelot. A person's faith is tested when times are tough and when times are dark. By the way, it's actually very important to note that, I don't know about you guys, but I've been feeling a lot of difficulty in the air recently. It's been a very difficult time period, and if anyone has been feeling this, it's a good sign. It means that your soul is very sensitive to what's happening. And according to the Luach HaZmanim, the Jewish calendar, this is the hardest tkufa, the hardest time period of the entire year. And very soon we're going to have Chanukah, which is a holiday of light. And on the eighth day, on Zot Chanukah, that's usually when this time period, this rough time period lifts. And then we're going to have a light that's going to be given to us up until Pesach and Shavuot, etc. So if you've been feeling recently like it's very hard, it's a good sign. It means that your soul is working and we don't have to send it back to get fixed. So now we're going to get into the Shara Bitachon. Okay. It says here, Bevitachon ala Elohim Yitbarach, regarding trust in Hashem, v'zeh petach hashara. This is now the beginning, the introduction to this gate. Amar Amchaber, the author states, Mipenei shekadam me'amernu b'chiyuv. We explained in the previous shara the obligation, kabbalat avodat ha'Elohim, of taking upon ourselves the service of Hashem. Ra'iti la'avi acharav mashu tzarech yoter mikol ha'devayim la'oved ha'Elohim Yitbarach. Therefore, I've seen fit to present after that what is most needed for a person to be a servant of Hashem. Meaning he's saying that what he's about to present to us is he saw that this is the most needed tool for a person to be a servant of Hashem. And without this, it's impossible to do. And that is for a person to have trust in Hashem in all of his affairs. Not all of his affairs excluding the thing that's most hardest for you. All of a person's affairs, everything that they're doing in their life, from the moment they wake up till they go to sleep and everything in between. Start with emunah. Now, it's a very significant statement. When you settle down to the actual subject of serving Hashem, the very first of all things that you need is the subject of bitachon. That may seem at first like a new idea because after we make up our minds to serve Hashem, we instinctively look for action, for things to do, obligations that we have to fulfill. Instead, the author of Chavot HaLevavot gives us things to think about. So we begin to see, and by the way, just to stop for a second, it's very important to always try to think about Hashem. I always try to think about positivity, to think about like the most, not now, it's going to be hard to, but when you go home, when you're in your car, when you're by yourself in your room, think about the hardest thing for you that's happening to you in your life right now and try to see the light in it. Try to let the light spill through. Try to think, how is this difficult test for me? How is Hashem demonstrating to me His kindness to me? The fact that He loves me, that He cares about me, out of anyone in the entire world, that Hashem is present with me in my life right now. And it's a very serious thing. Hashem is there, He's with us, He's struggling with us, and He's there with us until 120. And I'll actually give you a very interesting parable to explain that point. There was once a person that passed away. Let's call him Shimon. And after Shimon passed away, he came to the world of the truth, to Olam HaEmet. And the angels in Bedin Shalmala, they brought him to a path of footsteps. And he sees two trails of footsteps. So he asked them, why is there two trails of footsteps? He said, the footsteps on this side is yours, and the other side of footsteps is Hashem's footsteps. Meaning, as you're going through life, Hashem is there walking through life with you. So Shimon starts to follow through the footsteps, and he sees the day that he was born. He sees his bar mitzvah. He sees his wedding day. And now he comes to his 30s, where his wife got really sick, and his business was falling apart, and that was one of the hardest time periods of his life. And pitom, suddenly, he sees only one trail of footsteps. And he goes through his life to where things get better again. And then when things get more difficult again, later in his 50s, he starts to see once again, when things get hard, there's only one trail of footsteps. He obviously comes to the age of 120, to the completion of his life, and he asks the angel, Mr. Malach, how come when things were hard for me in my life, there was only one trail of footsteps? The angel told him something that, when I heard this, it can make you cry. When things were most difficult for you in your life and you didn't feel you had the energy to overcome that test, God picked you up, put you on His back, and took you through it. Crazy, right? We also have functions to perform. But first on the list of Avodah, service of Hashem, is certain attitudes of the mind that we have to acquire. Above all, the most important requirement of Avodat Elohim is Bitachon, which is a matter of thought of the mind. That's the first and most important way to serve Hashem. Any questions so far, by the way? Anything? Or clear? Okay, beautiful. You can also refer to this idea with the word emunah, sincere belief. This means if you want to serve Hashem, you have to work on your emunah. That's number one. Admittedly, emunah is a prerequisite for avodat elokim, but suppose a person reads the whole shar and avodat elokim and is inspired to do something now. The author tells him, if you want something to do, gain more emunah. By the way, we're going to stop again. Emunah is like a muscle. If I teach you now that you can't open a light on Shabbat, that, let's say a halakha, you can't make fire on Shabbat, esh, you're going to remember that halakha for the rest of your life. But if we have a very strong class right now of emunah and bitachon, you're going to feel after the class closer to Hashem. Let's say from 40%, we jumped up to 70%. You keep working on it, you can eventually get to 80, 90, 100. But if a person stops working on their emunah, even for one day, it'll slowly decrease. It's like going to the gym. If you don't work out your muscles, if you don't take care of your body, eventually it'll start to go down in percentages. And it says, scary thing, but I gotta say the truth, that if a person stops working on their emunah completely, they can even come to a place of starting to question, does God even exist? So that's also why it's so important to study this book every day and to, in general, to work on your emunah. If you're not studying a book, to talk to Hashem when you're in your car, when you're going about your day, to talk about Him, to think about Him, and to have a relationship with Him. You will discover that the emunah you had before is too weak, too small to be called part of a real service of Hashem, which is very true. The more that you come closer to Hashem, you're going to be able to reflect and to say, wow, I'm coming closer to God because my life is getting a lot better. Now, and by the way, just to give you a personal relation to this, I think I said it before, but the room we're sitting in, this was all planned from God. I literally came to Miami, drove down here with nothing, slept in my car a few nights, and I told Hashem, I want to come to Miami. I want to do content creation full time. I want to, you know, inspire people. I want to bring fulfillment to people's lives. And God brought this studio to me. And everything you see around you, not the flags, but you know, the equipment, the things, it was all sponsored by people that follow the content and etc. So really this is all planned from Hashem. And I just said, Hashem, take care of it. If it's meant to happen, it'll happen. And as you can see, very little worry went into the room you're sitting in. I'll tell you that much. Very little worry. Probably nothing. Now, bitachon is just one form of emunah. Bitachon tells us to know that Hashem is in charge. And the same thing with the videographer, by the way, Liora. A round of applause to her. When I first met Liora, she told me on Yom Kippur, she asked Hashem to be, you know, part more of the Jewish community and to do service for Hashem and etc. And I met her right after Yom Kippur. So I hope Hashem answered your prayers. So Hashem is in charge. It also tells us that Hashem wants to do kindness with His creation. He is a chafetz chesed. Once you have these two ideas established in your mind, you have achieved the emunah that you need to serve Hashem. So we have to teach ourselves that, number one, that Hashem does everything and whatever happens comes from Him. I like to say all the time, faith stands for forward all issues to Hashem. And we have to learn that, number two, that Hashem is doing it all for the purpose of chesed, kindness. Meaning that everything that looks difficult and everything that looks tough is a chesed of Hashem. Every single day in Shachri we say in the Baruch Shamar, you know what I'm talking about? When you take your tzitzit, both and hold them together in your right hand, it says Baruch Gozer Kayem. Hashem decrees and He fulfills. Hashem decrees that a person is going to have a hard test to go through in their life, Kayem, and He fulfills you with all the tools and the strength in your personality that you'll be able to overcome it. Hashem does not give you a test that you can't finish it, overcome it. Close enough. The author now begins to explain that bitachon is the most fundamental quality for one who serves Hashem. Bitachon applies to everything. Everything you do needs bitachon, including earning a living, attempting to uphold your health, and maintaining good relations with your family and with your friends and neighbors. It also includes your learning and even your tefillah. And by the way, this is so true. I can't tell you how many times I had a certain pain in my body or a headache or something, and I said, Hashem, it's from You. Heal me. I don't want to go to the doctor. And a couple hours later, it goes away. Sometimes the purpose of that pain or that stumbling block in our life or those growth pains in our business, it's all for the purpose of Hashem. Hashem is saying, talk to Me. It says actually in Shar Bitachon later, it says, Pachat pachati vayeh etayeni. Fear I felt. Why did I feel fear? Why did I have struggles in my life? Why was there anxiety and worries and etc.? The purpose of those issues is Hashem is saying, speak to Me. Get closer to Me. And unfortunately, in this generation, I'm not speaking to anybody in this room, but sometimes when difficult things happen, we go to means of escaping instead of growing. I learned in Israel when I studied in Aish that every decision you make in life, you're either going towards gain or escaping pain. So it's really us to understand that we have to believe in ourselves. We have to choose to want to grow. and to understand that once we get in the habit of things and in the habit of thanking Hashem, the relationship will only grow. And once you get to a new level, God can give you more. Once you get to a new level, God can give you more. But if constantly we're going to cover our keli, which is our vessel of receiving, with the victim mindset, why is everything happening to me? I'm not strong enough. I don't believe in myself. Then it's very hard for God to give you blessing and to make your life better. Oftentimes in Judaism, many speakers say you have to attract things. And I'm telling you now that the word attraction in Judaism is a big lie. Anyone who tells it to you doesn't know what he's talking about. There's no such thing in Judaism as attracting. Since you have a soul, you're automatically attracting good to come your way because you're the son or daughter of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So change the word attracting to allowing. How do I look for Hashem to... How do I allow Hashem to give me good things in my life? Because He wants to give it to you. Hashem wants you to win the lottery. And whether the lottery to you means a scratch-off, or to get married, or to have a good dating experience, or to merely be able to go through your day with a feeling of happiness and contentment, it's for us to decide, because Hashem wants us to be happy. Hashem wants to give us Olam Haba in this world and the next. But it's really for us to decide if we want to allow for Him to give it to us or not. And the first step to doing that is to say, thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, for where I'm at now, and thank you for the opportunity to come closer to you. Yeah, so every single person has tikkunim that they have to go through, but even the tikkun itself is a cleansing, meaning it's for a good purpose. Because if Hashem, meaning it says there's a pasuk, tzadik v'ralo v'rasha v'tovlo. Many times you can look at someone who's trying to grow and trying to come closer to God, and their life looks like it's hard. And then you ask people that everything just works out for them. Everything they touch turns to gold. That's not always a good thing. And I'll explain this better in the analogy. Let's say you have parents that have a daughter, and this daughter always goes out late. And every time she goes out late, her parents are calling her, where are you? When are you coming home? Now pitom, she starts going out late and her parents stop calling her. She's going to feel like, whoa, like my parents don't care about me anymore. Why'd they stop calling me? Same exact thing in our lives. If our life is hard, it's a very good sign. It means that Hashem loves you. And how do you create diamonds? Through pressure. So Hashem wants to make you better. He wants to make you a diamond. If God gave you everything, kind of like how what happened with Adam and Chava and the Nachash, why did God make the snake? Why did He make the snake from a human form into on the ground? He'll have food everywhere he goes. Because Hashem told the snake, I don't want anything to do with you. You're going to have sustenance anywhere you turn, up, down, left, right, slither around all day. You know, Kevin Durant, sorry. And you're going to have everything that you need. Meaning Hashem saying, I want nothing to do with you. But the fact that our life is hard, the fact that Hashem is molding us to become great, that's a very good sign, because it means that Hashem loves you. And yes, to answer your question, yes, it's tikkun, it's a cleansing. And if life is hard, it's a very good sign. If life is too easy and everything is booming, and God's like, take it, I want nothing to do with you, a person should start to really cry. Does that answer your question? If it doesn't answer, it's okay. Okay. So bitachon applies to everything. Everything, any more questions? We're good. Bitachon applies to everything. Everything you do needs bitachon, including earning a living, attempting to uphold your health, and maintaining good relations with your family and with your friends and neighbors. It also includes your learning and even your tefillah. Bitachon for mitzvah. In the beginning of our tefillah, we say, Hashem sfatai tiftach ufi agi tilatecha. Hashem, open my lips so that my mouth may declare your praise. Why do we say this? Because although we are ready to pray to Hashem, we cannot be sure that we will succeed. And therefore, we first say a tefillah for success in tefillah. We have bitachon that our success in tefillah depends on Hashem's help in the same way everything else we do depends on Him. And by the way, since we're reading this, I'll give you a quick little vort on Hashem's Fatai Tiftach. The word Amunai in the beginning, the gematria is 671, which is the same gematria as Sha'ar, gate. So if a person has kavanah on the first word of the Amidah, Amunai, and you say Hashem, please spill all the blessing down on me, and please help that my prayers should be successful, and I should say the proper words to you. It's a very good way to get that, to get your tefillah answered, because Amunai 671, Shar, gate, open the gates of heaven. For example, people work very hard before Pesach, cleaning the house and getting rid of chametz and arguing with their family. I put that in there. But they are relying on their own efforts. This This is a mistake. In the middle of Pesach, they might be surprised to find a whole bottle of whiskey someplace in the closet. So even when it comes to getting ready for Pesach, don't rely on your own efforts. You need to ask Hashem to give you success. You need Siyata Dishmaya, Hashem's help, and everything, even to succeed in the mitzvah. The same is true in all areas of your life. You must always refer back to Hashem. In your learning, how can you be sure you will remember? How can you be sure you have the right interpretation of the text? You need so many things in order to succeed in learning, such as having the available time and good friends around you, and etc. So you have to ask Hashem to cause all of these to be effective. Don't rely on yourself even in the mitzvah. So in short, what we're saying is that it's so important, like we said before, please Hashem and thank you Hashem. To always say, Hashem, I'm going to work now, please help that I should work out. Do this, by the way, guys, when you go to work tomorrow, when you leave this class, please Hashem, help me that I should go home safe. Thank you, Hashem. Please Hashem, help me that I should make money today, more than the days before, double, triple. And you'll see miracles. Literally in my life, sometimes I asked Hashem for something and He gave me even more than what I asked for. And you have to thank Him afterwards. And I'll admit publicly that even I, of course, I'm a regular person like you guys. I'm not, just because I'm giving a class doesn't mean I'm better. I forget to thank Hashem. I forget to ask Him please as well. So this class, as much as we're giving it, it's for me too. I need these lessons. I need this chizuk. I need this musar. And we all do. We all really have to work on coming closer to Hashem and to constantly remind ourselves that He's here for us. He's there for us. And as many times as we forget to thank Him and to please Him, and as many times as we go against Him and etc., He's still waking us up every single morning. You say at the end of Bodani, Rabba Amuna Techabi, a lot is your faith, Hashem, that You woke me up this morning. Obviously, if we're living, if we're breathing, it doesn't only mean that Hashem believes that you can just get through the day. Hashem believes that you can excel the day, that you can find all the good parts of your day, that you can have the best day possible. And it really, really, really is up to us. It says, "Bederech she'adam otzeh alechet molichim oto." And the way a person wants to go, Hashem's going to take you that way. If you want to go down a path of victim mindset and everything is happening to me, not for me, and just rejecting all the good in your life, Hashem will take you there. But if you really want to get close to Hashem, and you start with saying, "Hashem, I really want to get close to You, genuinely, from my heart, please help me." And if you have nothing to say to God, say, "Hashem, I have nothing to say to You." He's going to help you. Because Hashem loves you more than we can even understand. And we have to really just let Him love us and to love ourselves. It's really as simple as that. I wish I could make it more simple, but I can't. The same is true in all areas of your life. You must always refer back to Hashem. And we read this part already. We need to give special attention to the study of Bitachon because it brings great benefits in both matters of Torah observance and worldly matters. Now, this is very interesting. Bitachon is not for all. You need bitachon if you want to have success in spiritual matters, the service of Hashem, and etc. And in material matters, making a living, taking care of your health, and so on. But what about non-Jews who don't have bitachon? The answer is that Hashem conducts the world in different ways for different creatures, such as for animals, trees, and birds. Birds don't have any bitachon, but Hashem doesn't expect it of them. He conducts their existence according to rules that are appropriate for them. He might even make a whole species of bird extinct. There was a flightless bird called the dodo that became extinct in the 17th century. So Hashem's plan was that these birds should exist up to a certain time. They existed without bitachon, and when their time was up, they were gone. The nations of the world also exist without bitachon. And when the time comes, Hashem destroys the ones that He wants to destroy. Many nations have disappeared. Countless people in the books of history are no longer existing today. And so the non-Jews have a different reckoning with Hashem. He conducts their lives according to a general set of laws. Now, we just read the word nations right now, and it's reminding me, I want to say something very important to you guys. Obviously, what's happening in Israel is very, very heartbreaking, and it's befitting that the flags are behind me now. What's happening in Israel is very heartbreaking. We all want the hostages to come home. We all want the missiles to stop. We all want the horrible things to happen in the world. Now, what I'm going to tell you guys is that you guys coming to this class tonight, I think the 20-something of you, that is fighting the war in Israel, because we're creating now Kedusha, we're creating mitzvot, and we're creating a good malach that's going to go and fight that war for us. Many people think that the battle is fought with the drones and the IDF, which is true. That is fighting the battle. But the protection of the IDF and the protection of the state of Israel is dependent on our observance. And I'll prove it to you with the pasuk. It says, "Bechinam nimkartem velo bekesef tigaelu." It says, for free you sold yourself, and it's not money that's going to redeem you. I'm going to say it again. Bechinam nimkartem. For free you sold yourself. Velo bekesef tigaelu. And it's not money that's going to redeem you. What does chinam mean? It means that sinat chinam. Hating one another is what sold us away to Hamas, to Hezbollah, to the Yetzer Hara. The pagers blew them up. I love that, by the way. For free, we sold ourselves. Why? Because we hate each other. Oh, you're not Sephardic, you're not Ashkenaz, convert, this. All this racism and hatred between us, that's what's selling us free and allowing us to get hurt. And what does it say? V'lo bekesef tiga'elu. Kesef is referred to mitzvah. The fulfilling of mitzvot is not what's going to redeem you and save you. How do you fix this? You take the same ahavat chinam and you flip it. You take the same sinat chinam and you flip it to ahavat chinam. If we love each other unconditionally, and if we say, I don't care if you're Sephardic, Moroccan, Bukharian, Syrian, whatever your background is, I love you unconditionally, and I will always find the good points in my Jewish brothers and sisters, that is what's going to protect us. And on top of that, the fulfilled Torah, mitzvah, Mashiach will be here by the time this class is over. And that's really what's going to fight the war, and that's really the message of why I do what I do. There's nothing more important than Kiruv. There's nothing more important than bringing inspiration to people and bringing light to people's lives. And it's not just me. You can all do it. You can all really go home and change the world. Rav Noach Weinberg said, if you know Aleph, teach Aleph. Any small vort you know, and even if you don't know any Torah, any positive word that you can tell someone or any good advice, that could change that person's life. And you never really know who needs to hear it and when they need to hear it. That's why it's so important. Never second guess yourself when you want to do something good. And an important rule for life is that a person who invests in the will of Hashem cannot lose. I started out a year and a half ago with the phone and the dream, and look where we are today. And that's what's going to end the war in Israel very quickly. But as far as the people of Israel are concerned, we say, blessed is he who gives goodly reward to those who fear him. This is besides the compassion he has for people in general. As we say, blessed is he who has mercy on the creatures. For the Jews who fear Hashem and observe the Torah, there is a special conduct of goodly reward, and therefore it's important for them to comply with the test of bitachon. Hashem causes their bitachon to have an effect on their future. And by the way, you should know that a person who has emunah and bitachon and isn't the, like never think about yourself, oh, well, I don't wear tzitzit, I don't wear kippah, I'm not keeping Shabbat, this and that. You know, it's like there's a very famous analogy they like to use in yeshiva. Anyone have money on them, like a $100 bill that could use? I'm not going to keep it. Anyone have cash?
Yeah, 21.
Oh, give me a $100 bill. Yeah, anyone have big bucks? Anyone? Okay. Does everyone see this $100 bill? Yeah? I don't hear you guys. Yeah, Did you see it? Yeah. Do you guys want it?
No.
Obviously, we're not going to steal it. But let's say it was up for grabs. Does everyone want this money, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Would you want more of it?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, what happens if I took this $100 bill and I stepped on it? Would you still want it?
Yeah.
Let's say I rolled it in dirt. Would you still want it?
Yeah. I wish
it began. What if I crumbled it up and I threw it and I spilled water on it? Would everybody still want this $100 bill? Yes. Why? Because you understand the value of the $100 bill. That analogy is us. As much as we can dirty our soul with sins and averot and things and God knows what, all you have to do is clean it up, and it's worth, it's a diamond. It's priceless. And that's really what we have to understand. The same way that we want this $100 bill is the same way that we should want to better ourselves, because the soul doesn't change. It just gets a little bit dirty. You clean it and it's good as new. And that's really the example. Thank you for the money. You want to sponsor? I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding.
Really.
No, I really don't want it. I'm going to give it back. Thank you. This doesn't...
I'm supposed to do that.
Do I have to dirty it now? Hashem should bless you with 10 times as big as your heart is. This doesn't mean... Does everyone get that? It's such an important lesson. All you have to do is just clean the soul a little bit and it's good as new. And by the way, when you clean the soul and it becomes good as new, you start to feel good as new. God is sitting there on his throne recreating the world, you know, at every single moment. What excuse do we have to not recreate ourselves? What excuse do we have to not wake up tomorrow morning and say, Hashem, you woke me up today. I can go and have a great day. And even if things are not where I want them to be yet, I can go and build them. You know, enough with this like Gen Z mentality. I have to explode overnight, make a Bitcoin. It's Slowly, slowly, lat, you'll get there. Hashem isn't going to give it to you. But just show him that you trust him. Show him that when you don't have the money yet, when you don't have the soulmate yet, when everything's not perfect yet, you still love and trust him. And then when it comes, you know, it says, why does Masechet Gittin come before Kiddushin? Why is the tractate of getting divorced? Why is God teaching you how to get divorced before you get married? It's a little bit funny, no? He's teaching me how to get out before I get in. Any Moroccans? It's because God is teaching you, divorce yourself before you marry someone else. Marriage is all about giving. Love in Hebrew is ahava. Hav in the word ahava means to give from yourself unconditionally. Enough already with the stinginess, with the compliments. They're free. Give compliments, give love, give positive words to the people around you, and you're going to see your life change. This doesn't mean that if you trust in Hashem, your bitachon will make you a millionaire. We literally just said that. You see, it was mitkaven to the words. There are many reasons why you don't become a millionaire. It could be because Hashem is a chafetz chesed and he knows you're not responsible enough to handle big money. It could be that being a millionaire will ruin you. You may move out of the firm neighborhood and start doing things that are not for firm Jews to do. Who knows what will happen to you? So he considers it better for you not to have $1 million. By the way, I was just reminded about, we were talking about smiling before. The Chafetz Chaim says that your face is not your face. Hashem gives it to you. So when you choose not to smile, in a way you're like stealing from God. If God gave you a face with a beautiful smile, you have to use it. The right medicine. So bitachon doesn't necessarily mean you'll get exactly what you want. But bitachon means that Hashem will do what's good for you. Again, bitachon means that Hashem will do what's good for you and is doing what's good for you and has done what's good for you. Let's say you have bitachon that you will be given the key to the pharmacy and that you will be able to go in and take whatever you want. But you don't know what kinds of medicines to take. So getting this privilege will poison you. You have to know what kind of medicines to take. Therefore, we can trust in our own tefillot. In our tefillah for the new month, we ask for a life in which Hashem will fulfill our heartfelt request for the good. It has to be for the good. Give us what we are asking for, but only if it's a good thing. On the topic of medicine, it says in Masechet Kiddushin, Tractate Kiddushin, Daf Lamed, page 30, Amud Bet, 30b, it says, Barati Yetzahara, Barati Tva'at Tavlin. God is saying, I created the evil inclination. I created this evil voice, this negative voice inside of your head that is trying to get you far away from your purpose in this world. But I created a cure. I created a medicine. What's the medicine? Torah. And especially for the women and the men in this room, it's so important for a woman to push her husband to go learn, because when your husband goes to learn for an hour a night or an hour a week, whatever it is, he's going and he's burning everything bad inside of him. And how is that going to help the wife at home? Because when he comes back, he's going to start to be a different person. He's going to feel more open, more clear, compliment her, be a better husband. So not only is the woman getting Olam Haba and doing so much good for her husband, but she's also going to get it back in return. And for the men in the room, it's so important to learn Torah, single or married, because it burns everything bad inside of you. When you sit and you crunch your head in a hard Gemara, or learn Halakha, or read a book, whatever it is, if it's divine wisdom, it burns all the evil inside of you and it makes it very easy to feel good afterwards. Kind of like I have a good feeling we're feeling now and we'll feel, Bezrat Hashem. So although there are many times when people do not receive what they have asked of Hashem, this shouldn't weaken their commitment to the principle of bitachon. Hashem is always there, standing behind the partition. He's hiding himself, as it says, the Most High sits in concealment. Yoshev Beseter Yon, right? Chapter 90 of Tehillim. But He is conducting your affairs according to the very best manner for you. That's in response to your bitachon. This principle is summarized in the verse, blessed is the man who trusts in Hashem. Baruch HaGever Sheiftach BaHashem VeYa Hashem Yiftacho, like we say every day in the Birkat HaMazon, if we eat bread every day, halvai, then Hashem will be his security. This means that if a person has bitachon, Hashem will respond. Again, if a person has bitachon, Hashem will respond. If people don't have bitachon, Hashem might relegate them to the category of the non-Jews and creatures in general, because they're lowering their level of expectancy of themselves and of God and etc. Who knows what is going to happen to them? And this is the last part. Living with or without bitachon. We sometimes see families of Orthodox Jews who never think about Hashem. I'm sure we've all seen this. They keep the Torah, but they don't think about Hashem at all. What happens to them is that eventually they become lost. Entire families have been wiped out. Victor Miller is saying this, right? Not me. I remember a family of 6 boys and a daughter. Now one grandchild remains today. They were a Shomer Shabbat family, but they didn't talk about Hashem at the table at all. They didn't have any bitachon at all. They did mitzvot, but it was by rote, meaning by habit, by routine, without thought. So Hashem relegated them to the category of the animals and birds, Chas v'Shalom. Just as we see that sometimes certain birds become extinct and certain animals become extinct, in a similar way this family became extinct. But for Jews who live with Bitachon, Hashem responds and conducts their lives in a special way. That's why I said in the beginning of the class, you don't have to be, you know, white shirt, black hat to have Bitachon. Bitachon is for every Jew at any level, tattoos, piercings, no kippah, it doesn't matter. You can have Bitachon and you can be close to Hashem. Stop being so hard on yourself. I was in Uman this year, and when I went to the mikveh, the whole mikveh was filled with people with tattoos and etc. Do you think that God is upset at them? Look at where they are today. And the opposite, the tattoo on their sleeve or whatever it is, to remind them, wow, look where I was and look where I am now. I actually know a rabbi who has tattoos, and I asked him, why wouldn't you want to remove them? And he said, because it reminds me of the person I used to be, and I'm so proud of the person I am today. Sometimes we oftentimes are so hard on ourselves. Look where we used to be. We used to be in this place, or smoking, or drinking, whatever it is. And the answer is no. So what if you were there? So what if you fell? It's not about what you did. It's about what you do now. It's about how are you gonna take action now to make your life better? How are you gonna take action now to come closer to Hashem? And it's really a beautiful piece. Hashem responds and conducts their lives in a special way. Therefore, they're gonna continue and succeed in the way that Hashem knows is best for them. Again, they're going to continue and succeed in the way that Hashem knows is best for them, not that they know is best for them. Bitachon means to trust Hashem and to take out your will. And by the way, it says in Pirkei Avot, "V'yaser kitzoni kitzoncha, v'yaser kitzoncha kitzono." In English, it's that when a person makes their will align with God's will, meaning Hashem, I trust you, it's all from you, God will take your will and make it like His will. So if a person really wants to get married or really wants to make money or whatever it is you really you dream about and aspire to want to have, if you trust Hashem and His plan, He'll give you what you want. But just show Him that you trust Him. Because Hashem wants the best for you, but He also wants to fulfill the things that we want too. Right? Peace of mind. Happiness. In regard to the benefits that a person can get from bitachon and his Torah observance, mehen menuchat nafsho. Among them is peace of mind, uvitchono al Elohav Yitbarach, and his reliance upon Hashem, kemo sheha'eved chayav liftoach al Adonav, which is like what happens when a servant must rely on his master, that he's going to give him food, shelter, a place to sleep, etc. You may find it surprising that peace of mind is listed here, because it can be seen as material benefit rather than a spiritual benefit. Gashmius rather than Ruchnius. To have the right Gashmius is a very important factor in Avodat Hashem. When a man's mind is preoccupied with anxieties and worries, they take up the place that should be used for more important thoughts. Right? I can say that again. When a man is preoccupied with anxiety and worry, that anxiety and worry is taking up the space that should be used for more important thoughts. When a person lives with Bitachon, his mind is calm. His mind is calm. He's relaxed. He's on the beach even though he's not on the beach. He's in Miami even though he's in New York. That enables him to concentrate on the important ideas of life. But the happiness of having peace of mind is in itself a reward. Say that again. That enables him to concentrate on the important ideas of life. But the happiness of having peace of mind is in itself a reward. Physical well-being. The author starts out by telling us that although he's talking about the benefits in Torah observance, which is primarily ruchniut, we must not lose sight of the gashmiut, such as peace of mind. That is because this gashmiut is really ruchniut. It goes hand in hand. The altar of Slabotka drew an important lesson from what Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Bnei Yisrael when they came out of Mitzrayim. Remember this day on which you departed from Egypt. Today you are leaving in the month of the springtime, meaning the month of Passover. Why was it necessary to mention the time of year? Hashem was reminding them of how happy they were when He took them out of Mitzrayim. This is beautiful, by the way. They were thrilled to finally be free after so many years of crushing slavery, 210 years. They came out with great wealth amid the funerals of their enemies, the Mitzrim, the Egyptians. When Hashem rescued them, it was a veritable mountain of happiness and they were wild with joy. With everything going so well, the weather conditions, even the weather on the day they left, were surely not important to them, right? Because I'm getting released as a slave. What do I care about the weather? I'll leave in the rain after all that suffering. Or imagine getting released from jail. Do you care if it's raining or snowing? No, you're getting released from jail. And yet, Hashem said that in this mountain of good things, there's one more thing you shouldn't forget. There was good weather too. So guys, Miami. It was springtime. You walked out and saw the trees were blossoming, right? We leave palm trees. We live in Miami, guys. I lived in New York for 15 years. It was springtime. You walked out and saw the trees were blossoming. The grass was turning green. And that made you feel good too. Oh, you say, who cares about that? No, Hashem said, don't say that. Don't say who cares about that. If I'm doing a million good things for you and this is just hiding in the mountain of the million, don't forget that either. And so we come back to bitachon. Although bitachon can give you very great benefits, it will also give you good health. That is because a great deal of good health depends on the mind. And by the way, this relates to your physical health. Many times we overeat or we smoke or we drink because we can't deal with life. But not only does bitachon help you with your spiritual well-being, it will also help you to get into great shape, to be able to feel like you want to eat healthier, like you want to go to the gym, like you want to take care of yourself because you're not so stressed out all the time. And when you're not so stressed out and your mind is clear and free and easygoing, life becomes a breeze. Relationships become simple. Business becomes simple. When people upset you, you say, it's not him, it's a messenger of God. He's just talking through God. So you give him a hug. Thank you, Hashem, for sending him to me. Everything becomes simple. Everything becomes a breeze. It becomes beautiful. And this is really the opening of the opening of the opening. And God willing, next week we're going to get more into it. But just to finish, when a person has a calm mind, he will certainly live longer too. I don't want to live longer. Don't be ashamed to say that you're a Baal Bitachon because you want to live longer. Again, don't be ashamed to say, the only reason why I want to have Bitachon is because I want to live a longer life. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't worry about your selfish motivation. It's okay to come closer to Hashem and to have Bitachon because you have a selfish interest. It's okay. Everything is okay. A calm mind and everything that goes with it is all part of the deal. You can use ulterior motives to get closer to Hashem. The author has been speaking about the subject of bitachon, which means to trust in Hashem. Later he will explain in detail what that means. But in general, he is saying that whatever Hashem does, he does for a good purpose. Since he does everything, and everything that happens in the world is for a good purpose. And that is the end of today. Does anybody have any questions? No? Last chance? Okay. Thank you everyone so much for coming tonight. It was really an honor. Oh look, an hour on the dot. It was really a lot of fun. It was an honor. And God willing, by next week, we'll have copies, if not copies. You know what? Hashem, please help me that I'll be able to give out the books next week. Everyone say amen.
Amen.
Beautiful.
I have a question. What's the difference,
yes,
explained from this perspective, between Emunah and Bitachon?
Right. So we're merely touching upon the surface of Bitachon. But what I can tell you is Emunah is faith, knowing that everything good is happening from Hashem, and Emunah is more so how you react to things, and Bitachon is kind of that feeling in your chest that everything good is happening for a purpose. So Emunah would be like some surprise accident happens or some deal, you know, surprise doesn't go through. So my Emunah is, how do I react to it? How do I deal with it? And the Bitachon is more so going through the motion of the day and knowing that it's not me, it's Hashem, and I'm just carrying out, going through the motions of the day like I have to. I get up, I put on my clothes, I go to work, I make phone calls. And then Munah is how you deal with like surprise things that come out of nowhere, in short. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Can we say that like Munah is more like faith and Bitachon is more like confidence?
It's exactly what it is. On the money. I made my own definition for Emunah Bitachon. You guys want to hear it? It's cute. Faith, we said, forward all issues to Hashem, and Bitachon, bypass Instagram and TikTok and choose Hashem over nonsense. I would lose a lot of followers with that line, but we have WhatsApp groups. Any other questions?
One last one for me.
You guys, tell
me. Yishtadlut, right? Effort, like great effort towards whatever it is that we need to do. How do you know when you're doing enough or not enough?
So that's Yihi Chasdecha Hashem Aleinu Kaasher Yichanu Lach. The amount of yishtadlut that you have to put in is according to how much you trust in Hashem. So if you trust in Hashem that you need to work like a slave all day long, which by the way we're going to see in the coming weeks that you do not have to do that. It actually says that you have to pick a career that's very easy on your body and very easy for your mind, etc. So all this slave labor, it's not recommended by the creator of the world. But according to how much you trust Hashem is how much you have to work. So to the extent that you trust, to the extent that you have to work. By the way, since we're talking about Yishtadlut, I want to give you a quick explanation of to what Yishtadlut actually is. Yishtadlut means effort. What does that mean? Two things. Number one, Hashem wants to see when you go through your day that you trust Him, that you're on His side. Meaning people are going to come and constantly try to test you, oh, how'd you make so much money? How'd you get that car? Are you going to say that it's me, kochi ve'atzim yadi, it's my hard work and my labor? Or are you going to say that it's from Hashem, chaz de Hashem? Hishtadlut is basically, the reason why we have to work and go through our day and do difficult things is because Hashem wants to test you. Are you on my team or are you on the team of yourself? And the second reason why we have to do Ishtadlut, which is to work, is to keep busy. When a person keeps busy, whether it's with learning Torah or whether it's with being in business, they don't have time to think about weird thoughts and to sin and to go off the derech. So it's healthy for you to keep busy. And that's really what Ishtadlut is in a nutshell. Later in the book, we're gonna get into something very interesting where if a person reaches a level of spiritual lofty greatness, and he won't even have to do Ishtadlut anymore. Because if the whole purpose of Ishtadlut is a test and to keep you busy, what if you get to a level of spiritual greatness where Hashem tests you and you pass? He tests you and you pass. The more that you go up the kind of like the hierarchy, you're passing and passing and passing. If you can really get to a level of like, I'm an Eved Hashem, I'm a servant of Hashem, and no matter what happens, how much money you give me, how much you throw in front of me, you design your life in a way where it's really like living what God wants you to do, you won't even have to do Ishtadlut anymore, which is very, very interesting. Any other questions before we wrap up? Anything? Like, what's your middle name? Okay, so Baruch Hashem, thank you everyone so much for coming tonight. It was amazing, and God willing, we'll see you next week. Hashem should bless all of us to continue to understand His divine teachings and to come closer to Him from a place of love, from a place of acceptance, from a place of kindness. And yeah, thank you guys so much for coming.